Basically, I have to hold back the tide, and things get lost again, and it's always back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, and so I mean, my answer to that is, in which I saw it in the Obama campaign, the first one, is that nobody was trying to control everybody and everything, everywhere, you know? And I think this is why it worked so well. There was a freedom for creativity of folks, and then you sacrifice some control of everything somewhere, but the thing is like, let me choose my words carefully.
Don't choose them carefully.
What I like, for example, with the Obama campaign is that people were on their own having meetings everywhere in the nation. And the Obama campaign was excellent at creating the technology to enable that.
Yeah.
So as a strategic, as a tactic and a strategic design of the campaign, they were concerned about facilitating rather than controlling, which is a fundamental error of the Hillary Clinton campaign. They want to control.
Yeah.
You see, you look at Trump, his idea was to blow it all up.
Yeah.
No control or anything, just say whatever the hell, just so long as you get people all up. And that works. And Obama, what they did, and I was part of the actual committee that ran the campaign for New England.
Yeah.
Was called the Obama for America New England Steering Committee. And we had basically the two tracks. One is fundraising, another one was organizing. So we, the fundraising part, we get the money to select the fuel, the regional director.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks.
And I work very closely with the regional director in terms of how to implement. I'm talking to Matt right now, okay? So what you know, the regional director, you know, and I, we spend a lot of time talking and visiting all over the place, all over the states, every single corner, you know? And so the staff was so minimum. The cost of the running the offices and stuff is so minimal.
Yeah.
Because what they did is like basically they will facilitate it. Meaning like they would just be there, bring people into what they thought was important at a local level. And then there's a regional level, and there was a movement, a national level. Which is a reflection of the model of the story of self, story of us, and the story of now.
Yeah.
That was the actual design. Meaning, so As an organizer, your job wasn't to tell people what to do. You know, don't tell them what to do, don't control them, train them. You know, because there was a two-tier program. For the expert, local expert, there's a lot of those political folks that they wanna, you know, I have 50 votes here, I have 100 votes, I can give you 100 votes, and they have all the negotiating happening, everyone was doing campaigns, you know. You you basically create a committee-like thing where you, the expert, can participate and take as much credit for all your wonderful work. All your ego can be massaged and displayed as to how hard, but it has to be backed up by facts.
Yeah.
You see? So don't tell us that you have 10,000 votes. Deliver us 10,000 votes. Let us see it, you know? So we're fine if you tell me that you can convince your grandmother to vote for you, for us. That's fine. So long as you deliver one vote, 100% sure.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. That's the commitments that we look for. If you wanna help, we need to raise funds. You know, we had a lot of ways to like try to raise funds, but if we wanna do a fundraiser, we create these little committees where people will commit at a level of $1 to whatever, $1,000, you know, whatever it is. Doesn't matter how much you can do, we want you to do all you can. But whatever you commit to do, we will hold you to it. We will hold you to it. You can tell me to get $100.
Yeah.
You respond for $100, and I don't care if you put it yourself or you get 100 people to give you $1 each.
Yeah.
You must deliver. You see, deliver.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of like the grounding notion. And then from that point forward, the idea is to have folks own the campaign locally. And that means make your own signs, put it on your windows, do gatherings and to talk about policy, do gatherings to talk about just socializing,
yeah.
Do gatherings to just to enjoy the music. We did musical, you know, events, you know, that had to do with policy, but everybody in the room was all sort of like like-minded. And they were like-minded, and we had kids playing, and then a very big name folks just coming and doing a piano concert, you know, and like, we did all kinds of stuff, and it was so free form. So long as we developed, we brought down the numbers to, okay, so we had this many people, we did that many dollars, we achieved this much today, and people were interested in helping out. So an event will provide us with not only some income or some exposure, but also with another 3 or 4, 5, 10 volunteers.
Yeah.
And each volunteer would then multiply their work. And so the idea is that we encourage all of that as much as possible. And when you sort of like do it through a, you know, we had at some point, it started with maybe 50, 80 people that wanted to help, and it went into the tens of thousands. There's so many people that we ended up exporting to Ohio, to all the states. We actually sent groups of young people, we trained them and sent them off to support battleground states in New Hampshire, to Ohio, and we kicked ass everywhere.
Yeah,
in Florida, it's just we sent them to Florida because we had those campaign connectivity. So we would like, okay, so people will volunteer, go like older people, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, would drive in buses with young people in the 20s, sleep in gyms and sleep in churches and sleep in homes, you know, on the floor or wherever they could to volunteer. This is the level of. You see what I'm
commitment,
saying?
Yeah.
And you cannot buy that.
Yeah.
You have to inspire that. You see, you don't inspire by controlling the heck out of everybody. You inspire that by getting to the root that how much you have, you love these notions, you really care about your family, about your country, and you love it so deeply that you're so moved to do all these things.
Yeah.
Because that's a historical moment that you want to be able to say, I was there. I did my piece for my country and for my kind. You know? And my beliefs, my ideologies. And it's not about being, say, separate from, but to be equal to.
Yeah.
Whatever other human dignity I'm shown. You see what I'm saying? It's about dignity.
Yeah.
It's about feeling human. That's what it's about. That's what organization is ultimately about. It's humanizing each other. Oneself. But you cannot humanize it. Until you humanize yourself, you cannot humanize the heck out of everybody. Have to inspire that to come out of focus. So it's not about control. Controls, there's gonna be some controls.
Yeah.
But whereas organizing has for the longest time become part of, it's about control. It's about that Gantz called that mobilizing. Organizing for Gantz is about creating capacity. Creating capacity, constantly creating capacity. And the capacity is created by creating community. And community is created by connecting one-to-one, searching for those connections that make you, that connect your story to the story of others. You know, and in doing that, discovering and clarifying what is the urgency of now. And if now is the moment, what's stopping us? What are, you know, then you go into strategic thinking, you know, what do we have they need? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so forth. And so you start developing tactics and key events and peak events and all this shit. Like, it sort of comes from that. But without this sense of hope, of connectivity, of human agency, but also that is absolutely based on hope and love.
Yeah.
Hope for a better future, for the determination that this must be something better for us than what we have right now.
Yeah.
You see, and that really sparks everything else. And that's what he says, but you know, hope is always gonna be at the better field than resentment and hate and division. Because it only lasts so long before people burn out and even go into further chaos.
Yeah.
You know? So hope and love always forgives and always moves forward and always regenerates. And so that's what you really ultimately want, to regenerate continuously. So what happened in our case, all of these groups, a lot of these groups continue on in their local, whatever, being involved locally.
Yeah.
you know, and so I'm part of one group here called Stand for Democracy. That's sort of like mostly Latino slash churchgoers, you know, the multiplicity of religions. And so we have this thing that we create a whole system of how we work. We create our own format of what we believe in. And we've been very effective. This is the group that actually run the political campaigns that brought the churches together.
Yeah.
And so, but we only get involved from the perspective that we believe that the notion of religion at its best should be in the public square.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that churches should control the theocracy. You know, we don't want to see that. But we do see that the values of sharing, of respect, are very much pushed out when you think that the strongest and the richest should have it all and everybody else should like get richer without trying.
Yeah.
You know? So that we have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You see? So it's like, yeah, fine for you to make money, but you also have to be concerned about the environment. You also have to be concerned about respecting other people. So it's not about just money. If you say just money, which is like, oh, we fucked it all up.
Yeah.
It's fine. Money has its place. But you got to say, which God do you pray to? The God of money? If that's the God, then we have to have a conversation. And then you have to have this other God that says, well, you know, we believe in justice. We believe in loving each other and respecting each other. And in seeing that humanity and divinity in the other, we are going to find ways to improve our lot. Because what you want, whatever color you're in, whatever background you have, I'm sure it's not too different from what I want for my own son.
Yeah.
A nice environment to live in, a good school to go to, you know, like free from violence and discrimination. It's not that complicated in terms of what we all hope, very similar things, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not hoping my son grows up to be some like murderous thief that oppresses countries, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm, you see. And I can tell you, like, most of the people I know would never even, I would, of course, not, you know, like, be like, not even in the radar, you know. But, you know, I know people, they have that mindset, they do have a mindset,
but they're poisoned, like,
yes. And this is so what we look for is. That would be a faith-based, as opposed to religion, faith-based organization that believes in the importance of civil engagement with some religious values. In terms of, and I'm not talking about, I think it sounds like, oh, we're Christians and like we're doing this. No, we're just saying moral values.
Yeah.
We want our kids to live within tolerance. We believe in welcoming everybody, from Muslims to the Jews to whomever, you know. So treat them as, see their humanity first. That's what we want to see. And we get active very locally, and we get active and we see something larger happen. And what we do is a group of maybe 20, 30 people. But those are the leaders, the very key leaders. And I'm not talking about the ones who like, I like to be in the picture opportunity with the politicians. I'm talking about the people that run the first communion groups at the local church, the Catholic Church, with 500 kids, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the ones you want.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, they have the respect of 40 years of commitment to the community, you know? And they people listen to them. This is the folks that we're talking about, the ministers and the second and third tiers of leadership within the churches.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're connected to every business, to every profession, to government, to you name it, it's connected to everything.
Yeah.
The churches really have that tremendous power. And so what we do is we have that community. And when I say community, I'm like, we meet every week, not necessarily to, we talk about what the issues are, whether it's, you know, there's some local issues, there's some larger issues. We discuss them, we talked about it, we see what people are saying and whatever, you know. It's about hearing each other. We train on some issues or organizing, we train on some of the topics, you know. But we mostly care about friendship, becoming friends. That's the primary reason to be there.
Yeah.
We're a family. We're
make friends. A social connection and keep it.
It's about understanding each other as family. And we're there when somebody has a bad time or a good time, and we celebrate birthdays, and we, like, you know, and then we all volunteer when something happens, and then, you know, we can call each other whenever to help out, and we do, and so on. And that's the ultimate organizing for me. That it's not about just want the fight ahead of us, and then we're for that, and then boom.
It's not detached from your life, it's part of it.
No, it's all about...
It's totally woven into your
because social... you will do for your friends you will react for your friends at any moment.
Yeah.
And if that, in order to make that happen, you need to be friends with. I mean, like, you need to be in constant contact and care about their families and what their issues are. Then when the time comes to get active, to expand that group, it's way easier. Because you already have a huge base of folks that have done it many times before. In our case, and we have done also a lot of campaigns before, housing, I'm telling you, without housing issues to political issues to student disappearance in Mexico to local whatever, you know, like we got some folks now helping, you know, organizing a food pantry, a soup kitchen for homeless folks and so forth.
Yeah.
So we have we run the, and now I started it, but I'm not, I don't control it. In fact, I haven't been able to be there for 3 months.
Yeah.
I just talked to the folks because the meeting was yesterday, but because of the storm, was moved to next week. It was canceled. So we're going to meet next week. And I'm going to go and I'm going to, you know, and it's always good. 10, 15 people, somebody always brings food and we just have a good time, you know. And it's more of a family gathering. It doesn't have an agenda in that sense, but it has a format. We have a creed, we have a singing thing, we have an update of news, we have what's coming up, you know, a training. There's always a format that we follow, and it's a couple of reverends that go there, and there's a guy that is a non-affiliated guy, he's not religion at all, but he has this Salvadorian marching bands and like folkloric dancing groups, and so all of that is encouraged and welcome. Yeah. And so in a string committee, like, those people that are like leaders, that they come and they do whatever, but it's also open to whomever is not. I mean, an old lady that she's meets on her house and then she can talk to like two or three people every week. It's perfectly fine. So you have a way to equate them so that you don't have this distinction between the common person and the leadership.
Yeah.
You see?
Right.
So that way you sort of equalize that and you don't depend on the ego of. But you have open, you have a space for the ego to show that they can actually accomplish, by all means, you know?
Yeah.
But don't depend on them. Open it up to all the other levels, you know? And I got that, the design, I did it because I learned when I was a young boy in the Boy Scouts. I had a small thing for a small time I was in the Boy Scouts. Go to the bathroom.
Oh,
you have some here. And they told me a lesson that I always thought it was perfect. And I carry it with me to this day. It's just like, how do you drink water out of a, when you go to, out of a pond? You know, if you want fresh water, what do you have to do? You drink from the top? Or you have to drink from the bottom?
Yeah.
Because at the top is where all the trash gathers. So you want to find true leadership and refreshing leadership. You have to go deeper than that upper crust of leader, of organizing leadership.
Yeah.
That's all shit for the most part. And so when I started doing that, it challenges the established leadership of, which is a lot of ego,
yeah,
you know? And so I usually get in trouble. Because, whereas I respect what they do.
What kind of trouble?
Well, the fact that I don't follow the rules, you know, that I like, oh, you know, that I'm ignoring my...
But we do the same. We go right under all existing institutions to people on the street.
And people love that.
And they hate that, right? So the organizing class hate that?
Uh-huh.
Or the
community class? Because it becomes establishment thing.
But like, people here love that. Because they create their own new power.
It's refreshing. Yeah. It's empowering.
But and these guys sometimes have power and sometimes move against you and do things and
sure, whatever.
So I'm just wondering what does that
I don't,
what
I don't
does
ever
that
care about that
like here?
I really don't care, but this is part of what sets me apart. I really don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like if I gave a shit about what people think or stop thinking, I would never be here. I was a homeless kid in Mexico.
Yeah.
As a homeless kid, like in the streets.
Yeah.
If I ever stop and actually listen to, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you're a piece of this or a piece of that. Like, if I ever listen to that, I would never be here. And I made it all the way to the best school that there is on the land. And I teach there now. So I learned very quickly that whoever's with you is going to be with you, you know, because it has merit that they can see. If they don't see it, maybe they will, you know, change their mind, maybe they won't, but don't waste time. It doesn't waste time trying to convince somebody that just is about their ego. It's not about whether the truth is showing, the evidence is showing any actual better way. So as far as somebody shows me a better way, I'm all about it. But when I don't see that, I'm very good at detecting those two situations. Like when somebody's like, you know, whether they don't see that what they do, what they say, what they do, how they do things, creates a barrier. Right, I explain. Sometimes I'm not very good at explaining, but I can tell you when I see it, you know. And he said it's unlikely that I would change my mind because this is how I survive. Is that I know it so well, you know. So I don't waste my time. I just go with the folk that I think is very valuable when I make things happen. And so that absolutely goes against the grain in some instances. But every time I have actually gotten involved in that, it has shown the value of the approach. And so in that sense, you know, I'm absolutely a pain in the ass to work with, you know, as I am. But I'm also very effective, you see. And this is why people like, when ultimately what counts is to win, is like you better listen. I know how to win. That I'm very good at that. But I'm not a... And I'm more about that value that I find in connecting with people on a regular basis, above and beyond campaigns. It's just meeting folks. But that gives you the street cred that, you know, you need when it counts. And then by avoiding other fights, I try to stay as positive and as friendly as I can with all kinds of leadership. Because, I think they're very good people. They're very nice people. They mean well. Just that it has to be their way or the highway. It had to be the ones to lead or it's no good.
That's exactly our experience.
And so that's what I'm saying, that it happens everywhere, not just them. So I know that this is an ingrained thing, you know?
Yeah. And that's what the big question in my head is, that is a universal experience, like a universal reality. Organized, good organized class, like sort of progressive, my way or the highway. Power. Knows how to deal with them, has them accommodated, boxed. The powerless are generally only used as cannon fodder in this. They're never really organized.
There's an American guy, Tony something or the other from Cambridge or Somerville, that he calls himself the Latino organizer. He doesn't even speak Spanish, but he swears he's the top Latino organizer. And when he heard I was organizing in the Latino community, the first Obama campaign for the Democratic Party, he was all pissed off. And he was trying to call me to, like, put me in line, you know, you report to me sort of thing, you know. And I told you, I don't report to you or anybody. And you're nobody to me. If you think you're some teacher because I'm organizing in Cambridge, I'm for whatever, like, good for you.
Yeah.
You mean nothing in the streets, in the Latino community. Nobody knows you. I don't know who you are, and you're just like, it's you in the state Democratic Party, which is fine. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm not here for the Democratic Party. I'm here to win this race for my own folks.
Yeah.
So don't think that this makes me a Democrat. You know? And don't think that you will suddenly have the loyalty, unconditional loyalty of anybody. Because the Latinos are going to respond to what they see. Who's responding to them? And your first line is to like try to make us recognize your authority, that it's a self-appointed authority over our communities.
Yeah.
You don't understand. Like, the Latinos don't agree on the Latino leadership. And now you somehow you wanna show up and think that you wanna just own it? Like, you gotta be like, no, he's nobody with the Latino, he push them out. But he, because he has entitlement, because he's been organizing and he cares about Latino issues and whatever, and I'm glad for it.
Yeah, they think he's that. Automatically entitled to.
But he's entitled because he's, and the thing is, like, he doesn't see that he's the white guy that thinks he's entitled to rule or over the minority community.
Yeah.
And I can twist that in a split second, you know? I'm not going to, I don't need to, but it's like, I'm not going to fight you because this is not my enemy. We're not your enemy yet.
Yeah.
Don't make it. Why was the point?
Yeah,
but if you want to see why the Democrats lose track, you know, they keep promising things such as immigration reform. And Obama was the person that deported the most immigrants, particularly Latinos, in the history of the American presidency.
That's what I struggle with.
Don't tell me that you're my friend. Don't tell me that, you know. And this is what I say. Like, so now this other guy is promising to kick everybody out, and so this is the reality of the Latino community, is the same one I just told you before. The poor, no, the weak, in this politically weak, endure what they must. And they're gonna do what they know what to do. They struggle every day and they hope every day. But that doesn't automatically affiliate them with anybody. You know, if anything, they'll be most closely associated with the Republican Party if it wasn't so fucking racist. But Democrats are way off base, and they don't seem to understand that. The progressives are way off base, and they don't understand that. They don't understand the psyche of these minority communities, which is actually right or center. And so that you think that.
But is it right then to be organizing in that orbit? All of power organizes like that.
You know, what you're going to see happening is that only a fraction is going to open. They might vote for Hillary, not because of Hillary, but because of fear of Trump.
Trump, yeah. And so, back and
so,
forth.
So
and
when somebody that is not Hillary and somebody that or Trump comes up and delivers some good stuff, they're likely to change. Because they're not here to be a Republican or a Democrat. They're here to advance their families. And it's very hard for folks to understand that. They don't know the history of the Democratic and Republican Party. They're coming into a situation where they're being left and right. You know?
But it seems then, so from their perspective, from that poor person on the street, anywhere in Massachusetts, it seems from their perspective that it doesn't really matter who is up here.
No, it doesn't matter too much.
Because change is only real when it's felt by them.
Yes.
And if it isn't felt by them, why did it not happen? And, you know,
right.
So that's,
and so what,
I mean, that's our experience as well.
What people understand is that we have this problem with the Latino community. We come from places of incredible abuse and neglect and violence and corruption. So long as there's an economic opportunity to come here and work under whatever abusive, terrible, and mean and racist circumstances, they want to keep coming.
Yeah, because
it's better than being abused and being discriminated against and being in your own country for a lot less money.
Yeah.
So the only difference is that at least you're making dollars that are worth, give you a better chance of a better, for however long it takes, whatever long you can. So they're going to come in big numbers, and you're going to have to deport them in even bigger numbers, because what's happened is they're going to come here, they're going to have babies as soon as they can, and they're going to hope for the next generation to have a better shot at that they have, as immigrants always have for millennia. And that's how it's going to work. So the Republicans will change their tune at some point when enough numbers of the Latinos happen to be voting against them, that they're going to have to react. So it's a long term proposition. The vengeance of the minorities is always in biology, in the race mixtures. So not until enough racist families have children of migrants, you know, that they're gonna start changing their tune. So whether it's through marriage or just pure luck, they'll have to have skin in the game. Until they have skin in the game, they're gonna continue to talk shit about everybody else that does not like them. And try to put them down because they can feel, you know, larger than life. They're not. But this is the situation when you come from a very terrible situation in where you come from. Only to come from a terrible situation here. So long as the dollar remains a better option, they wanna do it. And they're gonna endure, and they're gonna have to force everybody to go find them and deport them. Yeah. And they're gonna make you work for it.
But
when you do that, they're gonna come back.
Yeah, and I understand, and that's part of the, obviously the trends here at the minute are the part, as part of that is that, you know, raising minorities or whatever that type of stuff. But even with that, what will definitely happen is that real power and money will adapt to any circumstance and will adapt to preserve itself. So wealth and all of that, concentrated as it is, will find a way to either be racist if it's tactically right, or be all inclusive. If it's
there's no allegiance to any particular view other than
the one of the strong. That's what I'm trying to understand. Like in South Africa, the ANC came to power 20 years ago, took power on behalf of the minorities, took an entire state power. You know, I'm saying power, right? It's my accent. But that's been in place for 20 years, almost 20 years, and apartheid is still in place. Apartheid still exists because the thing that they did not do was to take any economic power at all. So you have developers in Cape Town.
They weren't against capital, I suppose.
What is it?
Yeah, well, not even, they whatever way you want to defend, they did not equalize. They didn't make any real attempts at it. So what you have now are 1 million black people living in tin huts, dying every day on the edge of Cape Town, coming in like ants.
Add to that the denial of the AIDS epidemic, and then you have a very big problem in South Africa.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it doesn't exist here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's the thing. So that's a place where politically the black majority took power politically, but it didn't work for the black majority who were abused. And they continue to be abused. The same systems in place and the faces have changed.
So, by the way, what's the plan? What do you
have an 11 o'clock meeting, so I have to stop paying attention to these children and get ready.